Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Verse Number 6. I have just lost him who Text 6. Yasya Shana Viyogena Lokohi Apriyadarsana Uktena rahito hiesa ritaka purjate yata. I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Factually, for a living being, there is no one dearer than the Lord. The Lord expands himself by innumerable parts and parcels as Svamsa and Vibhinamsa. Paramatma is the Svamsa part of the Lord, whereas Vibhinamsa parts are the living beings. As the living being is the important factor in the material body, for without the living being, the material body has no value. Similarly, without Paramatma, the living being has no status quo. Excuse me. Similarly, Brahman or Paramatma has no locus standi. Without the Supreme Lord Krishna, locus standi is a Latin term, meaning no position. No. This is thoroughly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Thus, they are all interlinked with one another, or interdependent factors. Thus, in the ultimate issue, the Lord is the summum bonum, again, a Latin term meaning the greatest or the zenith of achievement, and therefore the vital principle of everything. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, the idea of interdependent factors is very important. And especially for Vedic philosophy, because everything in Vedic philosophy has this special quality of interdependent factors. That is, nothing is separate from Krishna. Everything is related to Krishna, whether people realize it or not. And what you see in the cosmos, you can also see in the microcosm. Whether you go down to the basic atomic structure of things, or whether you're looking at the whole universe as a whole, you'll see similarities all the way. Because Paramatma is present in everything. And the Jiva is present everywhere, along with Paramatma. So therefore, when we look at things like, you know, trees and buildings and cars and airplanes, actually, the primary quality of everything is Paramatma and its relationship to the Jivatma. It's not that something, the primary quality is the height, width, and breadth of an object, or the weight of an object, or the density of an object. Those things exist, but the primary quality of everything is the presence of the Lord as Paramatma. And the secondary quality is not simply the colors and the sounds and things like that. It's the Jiva. Without the interconnectedness of Krishna with, there's three things. There's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are the individual living entities, and there is matter. So these three things are the essential qualities of everything. However, if we look only at superficial qualities, So it's, the superficial qualities are temporary. The primary qualities are eternal. So therefore, in material science and modern cultures, they focus only on the superficial qualities of things, and therefore they don't have a way of understanding what is the purpose of life. They see life as something that begins and then develops, stays, gives off byproducts, dwindles, and dies. They don't see, therefore, all those things are temporary and not essential qualities of something. They are because of their ephemeralness or their temporariness. The essential qualities of anything, any object, any person, anything you perceive, is Paramatma, Jivatma, and Prakriti. So this is a big debate that's been going on for thousands of years. What is the primary quality and secondary qualities of anything that exists? Well, they have it wrong. And because of that, they can't figure out what is actually real and what is not real. What is the real goal of life? How to live one's life to attain that goal? They don't understand any of those things. And therefore, people are confused, and in their confused state, they become angry, they break things, they kill, they are wasting their time on frivolous things and not understanding what is the goal of life. So unless we have, it says, similarly, Brahman or Paramatma has no locus standi without the Supreme Lord Krishna. Very important statement. Even understanding Brahman and Paramatma becomes incomplete unless you understand that they both, and Prakriti, all come from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because we explain, well, there's an important thing is that the Vedas count 8,400,000 species of life. Modern scientists have hardly identified 1 million and a few hundred thousand species of life. Why is that? It's because the scientists and the biologists, they are counting forms or bodily forms as species. But that's not the way the Vedas count the species. For example, they count all humanoid forms as one species, but the Vedas count 400,000 different humanoid forms of humanoid species. So what is the Vedic criterion of understanding a species, and what is the materialist criterion? Materialist criterion is the body. The Vedic criterion is consciousness. Is a huge difference between those two criterions. So the highest consciousness is pure love of Krishna expressed through pure devotional service as in the form of the gopis. And then from there, you can go down and there's 8,400,000 other types of consciousness in the material world. In the spiritual world, that number is not limited to a certain number. It's infinite because the type of consciousness in the spiritual world based on love for Krishna is always expanding. So when it says, similarly, Brahman or Paramatma has no locus standi without the Supreme Lord Krishna, that if you understand Brahman or if you understand Brahman and Paramatma, but don't understand Bhagavan, you will eventually fall down. You have incomplete understanding of those two aspects of Godhead. So this is thoroughly explained in the Bhagavad Gita. They are all interlinked with one another or interdependent factors. Thus, in the ultimate issue, the Lord is the summum bonum and therefore the vital principle of everything. That's the point. The vital principle of everything is Lord Krishna. Brahman or Paramatma are partial understandings of the absolute truth. And summa bona means the greatest degree of consciousness, the greatest, and it's always increasing. It's not decreasing in the spiritual world. So these are things that this is real philosophy, and what the other philosophers are teaching is a bunch of nonsense. They don't understand anything about life or the purpose of life. So here, Arjuna, he clearly says in the 11th chapter, Tvamadi deva purusha puranas, tvam asya visvasya param nidanam, vetasi vedyam cha param cha dhamma, tvaya tatam vishvam anantarupa. This 11th chapter, 38th verse. You are the original personality of Godhead, the oldest, the ultimate sanctuary of this manifested cosmic world. You are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. That's the point. He's all that is knowable. Vitasi vedam cha param cha dharma. So this vetasi, veta asi, you are the knower. Vedyam, and you are the knowable. And param, you are transcendental. You are the transcendental dhamma, refuge. And tatam, atvaya tatam, this whole universe is pervaded by you in unlimited forms. So this is a description. This whole universe is cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. So Prabhupada says, everything is resting on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the ultimate rest. Nidanam means that everything, even the Brahman effulgence, rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the knower of everything that is happening in this world. And if knowledge has any, and if knowledge has any end, he is the end of all knowledge. Therefore, he is the known and the knowable. He is the object of knowledge because he is all-pervading. Because he is the cause in the spiritual world, he is transcendental. He is also the chief personality in the transcendental world. So this is explained in the 13th chapter. Let me just pull that up. Where it says, Jnanam Jnayam Jnanagamyam. So Jnanam means knowledge, Jnayam, which is to be known, and Jnanagamyam, which is the person that should be approached by this knowledge. So it says, he is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. So this jnana, gyayam, jnanagamyam is very important because simply understanding Brahman and Paramatma, these are both partial understandings of the Lord. One must come to the understanding of Bhagavan to have a complete, let's say, picture of who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and he is the primary quality of everything. Okay, so these are some thoughts about this purport. Are there any questions or comments?
They are all interlinked to one another or interdependent factors.
Interdependent,
yeah, factors. That is, that we call absolute truth, right?
Yes.
The result is absolute.
If you want absolute truth, it can't be incomplete. It has to be complete. So the complete absolute truth is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. It's not just Brahman, it's not just Brahman and Paramatma. Because everything is coming from Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in its original form, as Shamsundar. So without understanding that, one has incomplete knowledge. Due to incomplete knowledge, one can fall down.
And there's the beginning of the report. Actually, for a living being, there's no dearer.
No one dearer.
Yeah. No one dearer. The Lord expands himself by innumerable cards and points, as sponsor and renouncer. So this is quite intricate, you know. He's explaining himself as sponsor and then again a renouncer.
So in other words, what he's saying is that all the plenary expansions in the spiritual world and the plenary expansions in the material worlds are coming from Krishna. And then all the living entities in the spiritual world and the material world are coming from Krishna. And the living entities are not equal to the plenary expansions, right? And then all the entire cosmic manifestation or prakriti is also coming from Krishna. All these things are spiritual. They're eternal. But in the material world, it's possible to fall into a state of illusion by which you forget Krishna. So therefore, in the material world, people are walking around speculating all the time, confused. They don't understand what the real goal of life is. They're wasting most of their time. They're suffering most of the time or all the time. And they don't have any clue. Even after reading so many big books of philosophy by speculators, they don't have any clue of what is the real goal of life. So it's possible in such a state of confusion to remain eternally in the material world because the soul is eternal. Therefore, unless one comes in contact with a pure devotee, there's no, virtually no possibility that they can get out of this entanglement.
So Krishna is also a living entity.
Yeah. You are, I am, we're eternal.
So can we say Krishna is me, but I'm not Krishna?
Well, then we come to the example of gold in the gold ring and gold in the gold mine. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. So you're never really equal to Krishna. You can't say Krishna is me. But you have...
Because you say Krishna is living entity.
Yeah, you have similarities. That's why he's saying interdependent factors. Interdependent means one thing depends on the other. Now, Krishna is independent. But we're interdependent. We depend on Krishna. So there's no such thing that the human being is independent, that there's no God, and we have to heroically struggle in the material world. All that gibberish, nonsense, philosophical flights of speculation are wrong representations of reality. We are interdependent, yes.
When I was preaching to one, I can't call it.
Huh?
Once I was talking.
Yes.
Explaining this fact.
Yes.
About living entity and Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So we got into this argument about yoga and said, why are you trying to become God? I told him this. This came to my mind.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to become God? You are all God, but you are God's servant. No God's servant, but God's servant.
I don't understand the difference.
I said, well, people
Yes.
And then I said, what's the point? You're already God. You don't need to become God. But you've forgotten your position as a God servant.
So you're already related to God. It's not that you are God, but you're already related.
So we're small gods, but we're God servants.
Okay, yeah.
We are both. See, no servant like
if you say we are Ishwaras, so there's many degrees of Ishwaras.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way to understand we are God. But yeah, God in the sense that you're a controller, but there's different levels of controllers. You're not the supreme Ishmael.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're God because you have some qualities.
Yes.
And so you already God, you are God, but you're God servant, small.
You're servitor God. You're not
it's in the Sanskrit.
You're not worshipable God.
The Sanskrit, the way we say in English, God servants with S.
Okay.
When we say in Sanskrit, they use adjective and the same, God servant. Then we say that God is a two, God enjoyer and God servant.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. In other words, worshipable God and servant God.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Servant God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Servant God.
Yeah, so in the Panchatattva you have Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, and Advaita who are worshipable God.
Right.
And you have Gadadhar and you have Srivas who are servant gods.
Servant God.
Yeah.
So then I told you exactly you servant God.
Yeah.
But you know like that.
Yes.
Because why are you trying to become God? Because you
For ordinary living entities, they also worship the servant gods in the form of spiritual master.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a pure
Pure
servant.
But they don't worship them as the Supreme Personality of God. They worship them as servant God.
Correct.
But when you say God, you're talking about Ishwara. And just so we don't confuse everyone, there are different levels of Ishwara, controllers.
Sure.
So you have Indra, he controls something. You have Shiva, he controls something, right? So that's why they're called demigods. And then you have the ant, it controls something also. So it's also an Ishwara, but its field of Ishwara is very limited, right? But the supreme Ishwara, or Parameshwara, is the supreme personality of Godhead.
Right.
And he is the supreme object of worship.
So Popa gives this analogy of the drop of water from the ocean. So that means if the living entity is within its pure state, being connected to Supreme Guru. So he's part of the Absolute.
Yes. Yes. There's always a difference between the part and the whole.
Sure.
Right? But it's a quantitative difference. It's not in spiritual life, it's not a qualitative difference.
It's like when we serve a pure devotee.
See, now this is hard for people to understand because they see an evil person, and they say, how can that person have anything in common with God? Well, because the pure state of the person is qualitatively one with the Lord, because Satchitananda, they have an eternal soul that is full of knowledge and bliss, but not in the same quantity as the Lord. So even though it's an evil person, they are qualitatively one with the Lord. But it's just like you have, let's say, scissors, and you forget the scissors in your backyard, and like 5 years later you discover the scissors that you lost, but you can't open or close them, they're rusted. But now if you clean the rust off, then it works again. So in the same way, the soul which falls down into the world of illusion, it's like that the scissors that rust, it's not functioning.
conversely, it can never be attracted to magnitude. And when it's cleansed again,
So that's the whole point. Yeah. So once you get rid of all that rust, I mean, it's just like gold. If you drop a gold ring into your toilet that's full of stool and urine, you don't flush the toilet and say, "Oh, you know, it's contaminated." It's not contaminated. It's just covered temporarily. So you stick your hand in there and take it out and wash it, and you put it back on your finger, right? You don't flush the toilet and say, "Oh, it's contaminated. I can't wear it again." So the soul is never contaminated, but it gets covered. So even if someone is the most evil person in the world, it's not that they're in a hopeless position. Once they become purified, they attain their natural position of being the eternal servant of Krishna.
Now, Tadir, which is anything not to Krishna's worshipable.
Yes, tadiyanam,
samachara. So therefore, when we worship a pure devotee, or a pure soul, so that means we worship Krishna through that pure soul.
Well, you're worshiping the servitor God. You're serving the servitor God, yes.
So,
who's connecting you to the Supreme Personality of God.
So that is part of the absolute.
Yeah, but there's, yes. Well, no, it's even better. That's what Lord Shiva tells Parvati. It's even better to worship the servant, the pure servant of the Lord. Right? It's even better than worshiping Lord Vishnu.
You can't even choose the people to listen to
that. Well, that's why there's something called confidential knowledge. There's a whole chapter, confidential knowledge, right, in Bhagavad Gita. Most confidential knowledge. That means that an ordinary person will not be able to understand it correctly. They might understand something, but they won't understand it correctly. Therefore, manmanabhava madbhaktu madhyaji mam namaskru mam evaishyasi yuktvai mam madparayana. So this is the last verse of the ninth chapter, which says, it's a little bit different, but very similar to the verse in the 18th chapter. Yeah. Mam evaishyasi yuktvai mam atmana madparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So how do you become completely absorbed? It's by the mercy of the pure devotee that teaches you how to completely absorb your mind in Krishna. And Prabhupada says, in this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. So, see, that's the point. We have a body that's different than our soul. So when we start talking about Krishna, who is his body and he and his soul are one, whereas for us, the body and the soul are two. So we get confused when we hear about Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satchitananda Vigraha. We project upon him our own limitations. Okay. So the whole point of hearing regularly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is to break out of that shell that's holding us back, this duality between the body and the soul. Right.
I like the direct statement of Lord Krishna himself about Adhyana. He said that one is one who claims to be my devotee is not my devotee, or when the devotee is my devotee, is my devotee.
Yeah, that's why worshiping the devotee of the Lord, the pure devotee of the Lord, is most auspicious thing for a person to do.
Yeah. So that's very confidential statement.
Confidential knowledge. And then that's taken out of context by the Mayavadis, and they said, you know, oh yeah, I am God. They ruined the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, Hari Bol, glories to Prabhupada. Yeah, we should definitely read this 9th chapter, 34th verse in the purport. A lot of information there. Hari Bol, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.